morning, Sam.
Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, recovery people. Good morning, everywhere. And
happy birthday,
Molly.
Molly.
My wee Ma is 90 today.
Oh. We're hatching the great escape plan.
Yes, break out of hospital. So, wish us luck.
Yes, fighting the system. April the 12th. Give thanks for everything you have, for everything you receive, and for everything you are going to receive. In fact, never cease to give thanks, for it is a positive attitude towards life and the very act of giving thanks which draw the very best to you. It helps to keep your heart and mind open. It helps to keep your consciousness expanding. You will always find something to give thanks for. And as you start doing it and start counting those blessings, they will increase. You will realize how mightily blessed you are, that all I have is yours, and that my storehouse of abundance are full to overflowing, and you lack nothing. Your every need is wonderfully met, and in the state of consciousness, you are able to give and never count the cost. For it is as you give that you receive, and as you give, you make room for more to return to you. I love the fact that, you know, if all goes according to plan, which we know doesn't always happen, but we're going to go to Findhorn, where these readings are from. So Findhorn is the spiritual company, community, in Findhorn, and we're going to go there on Saturday to hear your brother play.
Aye, there's a music session at the community centre.
And, you know, for those of you that are new listening, Eileen Caddy got downloads. You know, these readings were her higher power speaking to her. She said, you know, she found God in the toilet.
No.
She found God in the toilet block, because she escaped her three young children in a caravan, and she sat and she'd hear these downloads, she called them. And, you know, everything that she says in that reading, you know, about the sort of laws of attraction, about give and you receive, I mean, that is our program, isn't it? The more you give it away, the better your recovery is. That's what you were saying the other day, wasn't it? You know, if you're doing God's work, then God helps you in return. You know, and service comes in many forms, doesn't it? And I like that. The more you give,
you maybe make... she invented the word download.
Yeah.
Because that was long before the internet.
As you give, you make room for more and more to return to you. And it's absolutely true, isn't it? We have everything we need, not everything we want. And wanting is a character defect, isn't it? Wanting more of. That's what we've suffered from, wasn't it, in addiction? Mm-hmm. We always wanted more.
Endless hunger.
The hunger of the mind knows no end. Especially when it came to, you know, when I was on a mission to get out of my head. You know, I'd want more and more and more. And yeah, we have to watch, don't we, for cross addiction. You know, because, you know, it's that pleasure and reward system, isn't it, of our head. And I think a lot of us suffer from a lack of dopamine. So we try and find ways to get dopamine from natural ways instead of chemicals and alcohol. Cold showers, exercise, breathing some works, and the tongue is a big receptor. You know, if you put a tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth, you can set an intention and that sets off something. Try it. Let's intend that we're going to take Molly.
Do what, sorry?
Put the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth. This is from Yogananda, and it's called a Raja. And if you put that tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth and set a really clear intention, I try it when I'm looking for a parking space. It often works.
Mm.
The parking angels. So we're taking Molly out. That's our intention.
Mm.
But yes.
To be very patient and cheerful.
Yeah. And, you know, we give thanks, don't we? And a positive attitude. You know, we have to keep that positive attitude and, you know, try and see glass full, not empty. Half full, not half empty. And, you know, I think I said yesterday, that's the work that I've been doing, you know, through my work, knowing that your mind has an effect on your cells, on your protein of your cells. The way you perceive life changes the protein in your cells. That's amazing.
Mm.
So cheery nature, you know, keep positive, prayer or intentions. You know, you can will yourself sober. I know that with God's help, you know, you call on a higher power. And, you know, doing the work to get rid of the things that you're blocking off from the sunlight of the spirit. So removing your fears and your anxiety and your worries. You've got a chance then, haven't you?
Mm.
It's like a double pact, isn't it? If you do the work, like do the inventory and do the amends, then the compulsion will be lifted for you.
Mm. I was talking about gratitude in the meeting the other day when the reader mentioned you know, the quicksand.
Yes.
Of self-pity.
Oh.
And, you know, I said that the solution to self-pity is a gratitude list. You know, if you do a gratitude list, then you get out of self-pity, you know, stop taking things for granted and feel a bit more appreciative of, you know, how fortunate you are, you know, compared to many people in the generations past. And, you know, who knows what's to come.
Mm.
Bit of gratitude, super powerful, you know, for getting out of self. And that's why people talk about being a grateful recovered alcoholic, or a, you know, sponsors say do a gratitude list.
Yeah.
You know, because it's
it changes the way it fires. You fire
what
you want.
It forces your attitude to shift.
It does.
Mm.
If you sit in, you know, neuroscience again, what you fire, you wire. You know, and you change your levels of consciousness when you're grateful. And also for me, when I'm doing my prayers in the morning, when I turn to the south, I do four cardinal points, and the first thing I say is, today I'm not in charge, I'm going to remain adaptable. Oh my goodness, that helped me yesterday, knowing that I'm not in charge. And you know, there I was, you know, we perhaps couldn't take her out for a weekend, but we were planning a lovely day trip for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just keep positive, keep cheerful. You know, Viktor Frankl in the concentration camp realised the only thing that he could change was his mind and his perception and his desire to help people and really set that intention that he was going to get out.
Mm.
And that got him through, didn't it? Well, what's the other one? Shawshank Redemption. You
get
know,
busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah. Where he used his time to help everyone in do their accounts, wasn't it?
Mm.
That's a great film, isn't it?
Mm.
And there's all these, you know, Nelson Mandela. He could have come out bitter. What did he do? Went on to be president. Mm. Amazing, isn't it? We've got the power over our mind.
Well, he didn't abuse the power of the presidency for revenge.
No.
They had the truth and reconciliation process.
Amazing.
Mm.
And that's the power of individuals' consciousness. Amazing. Stay positive, stay grateful.
Mm. Keep breathing.
Yeah. Get busy living.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Hamish.
Scotland now, Hamish. quest to find your page.
Yeah, I haven't been writing down the dates. Keep not having a pen. 260, Inward Reality from the Big Book, page 48 to 49. It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world that its outward appearance is not inward reality at all. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed, and these tiny bodies are governed by precise laws. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that infinitely beyond the material world as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, our perverse streak comes to the surface and we set out to convince ourselves that this isn't so. Were our contention true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. Inward reality. Mm. That's from We Agnostics.
I love that same phrase. We were taught that in India, that creative intelligence, you know. And when Anand was saying, look at your body, look at your endocrine system, look at your respiratory system, look at how many synapses happen in your body, how many, you know, fight or flight, you know, it's an incredible machine, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, the little world that you have on in your gut going on, you know, mm. with all the sort of things working that we have no control over. It's incredible. You know, we breathe automatically, don't we?
Mm.
That's a creative intelligence, isn't it? Look at nature.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you pursue science, you know, in terms of scientific explanation, things, you know, look at the kind of organic world, you know, and it's like, say, the human brain. How does science explain consciousness?
Mm.
Right, the mind, the soul, or whatever, you know, and it's like it can't get there.
Yeah, and I think there are certain things that that science haven't proven yet, and just because they haven't proven it yet doesn't mean it's not real. We've got to have that little air of mysticism about our lives, I believe. You know, how can we explain, you know, certain phenomena that we can't? So just because we can't explain it doesn't mean it's not true.
Mm.
You know, when you think about the Wright brothers, like it says in the Big Book. So I think for those, I can see where the agnostics, you know, he's trying to say, you know, open your mind.
Yeah, open your mind to the possibility of unseen things, you know, that you don't, you know, have proof for, but that, you know, at the same time, there is kind of, you know, things like intuition.
Mm.
Do you believe in intuition?
Yeah.
You know, or is that just lots of coincidences? But, you know, it's like some people are more intuitive than others, some people are more tuned into it, but I think everybody's had a kind of intuitive experience, you know, to think, you know, they get this sense, a feeling, you know, this idea that I should do that or I shouldn't do that, you know.
Yes.
If something bad is coming, you know, the sense of foreboding, or that's, you know, what the fuck is that? You know, how do you explain that in terms of electrons and neutrons and atoms?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is a lot of mystery to reality.
And I think, you know, when I was, I took my sister to this event on Wednesday, and by relaxing our eyes, you know, we could see the aura of the man. We could see his force field around him. It was amazing. Everyone saw it because he just said a technique to, you know, just stare at his eyebrows and then just let their eyes go really relaxed. And we all said, yeah, we can see the force field.
Mm.
So, you know, there's It's sad, isn't it? There's a lot of our brain that we don't use, that we haven't tapped into yet. You know, and the yogis have always said that they can, you know, tap into the field of consciousness, the united field of consciousness, where, you know, they can do amazing things.
Yeah.
So I think we have to just, you know, that's one of the requisites. What's the word?
Requisite.
Of AA, isn't it? Open-minded, honest, yeah. And willing.
Mm-hmm.
Just be willing. If you're not sure about higher power, just think, well, how come it's happened? I mean, the science is, it's kept all those people sober. They've done this program, they're sober.
Mm.
Those people that don't do the program don't get sober.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scientific proof, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's another way to do it, is like, go and get fucking pissed and be possessed by a demon. Right.
Alcohol.
See how that goes. Right, alcohol. Right. Get possessed by alcohol. Yeah. I mean, and it's like, it's unrelentingly grim.
Yeah. Nothing, you know, comes, you know, if you've crossed the alcoholic line, it doesn't get better, does it?
Mm.
It certainly gets worse.
You know, demons and angels, you know, it's like, connect to the, you know, the sunlight of the spirit, you know, and get that feeling of, oh, you know, this is quite good. I quite like this spiritual life, you know, and then it's like, you know, no, fuck that. Let's get back to being drunk with a demon and, you know, and all the darkness and the dread and the self-loathing and the
self-pity
and the just the pure
blaming,
utter misery. For what?
What did you say? If you ever relapsed, you'd say, can I have a pint of death and a something chaser?
Yeah, and a double puke. A double puke. And and I'll have a half a can of self-pity to take out. And 20 regrets or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
It's good life, isn't it? And it doesn't have to be boring and glum, you know.
Mm.
It's about the whole, isn't it? Thinking about.
I went for the walk to dog, you know, before we did this, and went up to the park where I used to play when I was a boy, and walked up the street and round the other street where I lived, where I grew up, and my wee doggie, you know, and kind of looked at all the houses, and, you know, some of them are exactly the same, and some of them have been extended, and some are, you know, there's not many people. It's all different people now, apart from a couple. And as I was sort of walking back, kind of to finish the circuit, I'm walking on the path out of the park, the way I used to go to the station to get to school and university, and I was saying to myself, I was walking on this path 40 years ago in my final year at uni, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder if I'd known then what my life was going to be like for the next 4 years, you know, what would I have thought? You know, would I have thought, oh, that's all right, that's good, whatever, you know? And it's like, I'm glad I'm in a good place now, you know, because I've kind of been through some trouble and got through it and kind of come out the other side, and I can walk around here a free man with my head held high, you know, not feeling that I have to hide.
It's a good feeling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Thanks, Sal. Oh, and I was reminded yesterday, for those that used to listen a year ago, it was a year ago because we always said good morning, Teasel.
Mm.
And she went a year ago. Yeah, I just, you know.
Me, Teasel, right?
Yeah, I remembered her. That, you know, and my daughter sent me some pictures, and I said, do you know what? I think that dog saved my life. Because without having to get up and take her out, I might have just stayed in bed all day.
Mm.
Bless her. She's a lovely little doggy.
Mm-hmm.
So remembering little Teasel, and happy to have this nutter.
Grateful for Teasel, grateful for Hamish.
who who escaped the house mm-hmm. as soon as we got here and chased after a cat.
Yeah.
But he came back.
It is not perfect, you know, see, it's not perfect, but, you know, it's what we've got, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely helping.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Sam.